Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that you've had a good day today, and that you've walked close with the Lord and in His Word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, again, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward as we open your word, that He will open our hearts and minds to be receptive and to give us the truth of this your word, Father, so that we will not be easily deceived. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and may the Holy Spirit bring to each of us you would have us to know and to understand, so that we, Father, can grow stronger in faith and closer to you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that sweet, precious name of Jesus that I make this prayer. In that name of Jesus, amen. Now, all right. We're going to be in chapter 3 of Romans. And here is verse 1. Says, what advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way chiefly, because that unto them were committed the articles of God. For what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But you know, looking at these four verses, we find that circumcision made Israel a distinctive nation. So Paul has actually a national superiority and privilege in view. And the question is, what benefit is there in being a member of the Jewish race? Well, right now, in this day and time, not much. We know they are still God's people. He hasn't turned his back on them. They walked away from him. Now, you see, the articles of God refers to the words of the Old Testament, which Paul, like other New Testament writers and even Jesus himself, regarded as divinely inspired. Now think about that. And today we all know that all of this book was divinely inspired. In fact, the Holy Spirit was given to each author, each one, the words to write. So we know that this is not man's word, it is God's word. And you know, I talk about God forbid. May it never be. That's actually what God forbid really means. May it never be. Perish the thought. This direct denial is a form of negotiation in which the individual recoils with horror at something that is previously suggested. And it occurs in Paul's writing more than 60 times. Let God be true refers to God keeping his promise to Israel. And God's faithfulness does not depend upon the faithfulness of man. His faithfulness don't depend on our faithfulness. You see, he's always there, and he will always be faithful. We cut him off from ourselves by going against his word and his will and his way. Now here's verse 5. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? He says, I speak as a man. No, we know that, you know, that God is not unrighteous, and he warns us of what will happen and take place when we go against him, against the Lord, or against his word. Now, 6. Here in 6 he says, again, God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? Well, if he was unrighteous, no, really he couldn't, because he wouldn't be who he is. Now, 7. For if the truth of God has more abounded through my life unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? You see, he's talking there about the truth of God to be abounding in lies. It won't do it. We have them out here deceiving people that has twisted and turned things around to where he's got it sounding like that it does actually do that. But that's not so. Now, 8. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. You see, we can't do evil and expect good to come out of it. That evil has to be done away with. And then we can look for good. Once we do away with our sins and the evil that's within us, God is always there to bestow something good to us and upon us. Now, 9. What then? Are we better than they? Now, Paul answers that himself. No. In no wise, for we have before proved, both Jew and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. And we all were under sin. Now, if we got rid of that sin by going to the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting and being forgiven for them, then, you see, we're not under that sin. We're under the grace of God and righteousness. And we are to walk that way. And once we have come to the point in our walk with God, to where we can receive it, then he gives us the anointing and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that will guide us in all of our ways and talk to us. And he does talk to us in many, many different ways, but also he talks to us as we study his word. Now, 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, I've told you many, many times about how a lot of our churches has turned things around, and they are using a real scripture by adding to and taking away from it to make it say what they wanted to say. And this is one of them. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. But you see, they tell you that's the reason you continue on in your sinful ways, and you just need to go every time you commit sin, the same old sin over and over, go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be forgiven for it again. No, that don't work either. But this is talking about us before we go to the Lord and repent and receive his forgiveness and salvation. 11. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Now, you see, this is all beforehand. 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. This is what they use. Because you see, that is sounding like, you know, that we never change. But see, that's not so, and that's not what this is meaning. This is talking about things that are before us. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he goes on here now with 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's why I keep telling you and warning you about watch your speech. Watch what you say. Make sure that your speech is always that God would approve of. 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. And those that are walks in evil, this is all true. 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways. 17. And the way of peace have they not known. 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. But this is all, and that's what he's speaking about here. This is all before we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and become that born-again child of God. You see, we become that born-again child of God, our whole life changes. And I'm not saying should change. Once we become born again, it does change. It can do really nothing else. What do you mean it can't do anything else? It can't. It cannot do anything else. Once we become born again. Because you see, this is some more of the contrary teaching to the Word of God. And they took the Word of God to deceive people. Because they took it out of context and teaching the wrong meaning of it. Now, we are told in John the 3rd chapter, as we read it, it ain't been that long ago, and we was reading it, that we have to be born again. Without being born again, we can't get into heaven. Now, what happened when I became born again? Well, according to the Word of God, in 1 John 3rd chapter, verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Telling you straight, point blank, what being born again does, and why and how you can live that way. Because you see, you have that Holy Spirit in you, and he's not going to let you go too far out of the way. Now, Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, that's why God gave Moses the law. Up until the time of Moses, man really did not know right from wrong. And we know that God wasn't counting that as sin to them. And we're not told in God's word how they will be judged. We know that those that live by and under the law will be judged according to the law. And those of us that live by grace will be judged according to grace and by the way we have lived with and for him and walked in the Spirit and in the Word. Now, you see, the purpose of the law was to bring conviction and prove guilt, not for justification. The law, really, it never justified anyone. Its whole purpose was to reveal sin. And the law, when he gave it to Moses, he told them everything about being right and wrong and what was sin, such as stealing, committing adultery, fornication, blasphemy, all of this, lying. You see, the law let mankind know right from wrong. Or a lot of, not all of, but a lot of the main things. Now, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This righteousness, the emphasis here is on the gift of personal relationship to God. You see, and it's imparted to those who trust Christ. You see, Christ is what is making the difference for you and I today. Because It's not that we are not sinners, but it's because he forgave that sin and pardoned, got us pardoned for it. We were pardoned for it because he paid for it. And he done that by giving his life. And that's one, verse 21 goes on, says, but now Paul's emphasis shifts to the new age or dispensation. And he is not contrasting Jew and Gentile, but the time when the law held sway and the present time when grace prevails. He fulfilled the law and the new church. The church and the church age is under grace. Now that's the difference for us. 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Jesus Christ is the only valid object in which man must place his faith. Think about that. As I've told you many times, there's no other way into heaven for us of this day and time in this age. And we have been under this age now little over 2,000 years. And we are coming to the end. And the Lord will be coming back for his church. Now we don't know when. We're told man don't know. Even the angels in heaven don't know. We're told that in God's word. Now, 23. This is another verse they use to misguide people. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They say, see, all sin. No, that's past tense. For all have sinned. And we all did before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified. Really, that word, as he put it there, being justified, indicates being declared righteous. It signifies the believer's judicial standing before God. There is no just cause in man to warrant justification, but by his grace, by the grace of God, unmerited favor is bestowed throughout the redemption on the release of payment or ransom, which Christ's death is the ransom. And the sinner is released on the basis of the ransom having been paid. And we know he paid it. He took it to the cross and died because of it. Took it with him. Which would bring pardon to us poor sinners here on this earth. that would go to him and to do what the plan of God tells us to do. 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, through faith, Christ's death satisfied the Father's righteous demands. Because we know that the Father sent him for that purpose. And its benefits are appropriate only through faith in his finished work, in his blood. The emphasis is not on the blood as it cruised through Christ's veins, but as it was shed for our sins. This is how the propitiation was accomplished. Just and the justifier. God can remain just to his nature and still declare sinners to be righteous only because Christ has paid for that sin and satisfied the Father. Think about that. And satisfied the Father. You see, because the whole thing is, the sinner is not rendered guiltless, but he's pardoned. And Christ has taken the sins on himself and has imputed his righteousness to the sinner. That's why we can be and become that born-again child of the living God. There is no other way. Now, 26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. You see, we really have nothing to boast for as far as boasting about ourselves. Our boasting is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done for us. We do nothing to really boast about, because all of the good works that's done with us, through us, and by us, all comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. All right. 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without deeds of the law. That's right. We're not under that law at all. Now, 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Because once we become that born-again child of God, It does not matter whether we are Jew or Gentile. We belong to the family of Almighty God. 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Because you see, we that are born again children of Almighty God are keeping ourselves clean from the sins that had been given to mankind through the law. And that is what Jesus came to fulfill. He himself told us, as we were studying the four Gospels, he told us himself. That's why he came, was to fulfill the law and to establish grace in God's Word. And through him, and through the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. There is a lot for us to think about, and a lot for us to change our lives. Every bit of our life is to change. And all for the purpose of making heaven our home to serve the Lord our God. Think about it. Now, I know there's a lot of them that won't think about it because they don't want to believe in it. So they're not going to accept it. And they're going to stand one day before him and hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And they're going to wind up with their seat in hell and eventually end up in that lake of fire that burns forever, will never burn out, and the worm never dies. Think about these things. Which do you want in your life? You can continue playing church. You can play at being a child of God. And you'll be one of them. Or you can be sincere and true and become that one that is born again to serve our living God. Because you see, we not only serve him in heaven, but we serve him while we are here on this earth. And if we're not serving him here, we're not going to serve him there. These are things that you need to really be thinking about. We have come now to the end of chapter 3. We'll be stopping here for the evening. God willing, we'll be in this chapter 4 in the morning and seeing some more things. As I said, things are going to start getting stronger and stronger, and you're going to be seeing more and more things that most of us has not done. Because we didn't even know that it was in the Bible. As I've told you before, it doesn't matter how much we read and study this Bible, they will always be things that we didn't catch on to. And we'll always be learning something new. And these things that we learn new, it's what we do with them will depend a whole lot on who we really are. Really gives you something to think about tonight. And it's all in God's Word. We read quite a bit of right here tonight of what I'm talking about exactly. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word and we're asking Heavenly Father and giving thanks for this word to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, for the time that we can come together to share this word with each other so that we can go out and help others to learn that there is something better than the darkness they're walking in, and help to lead them to the light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for them, Father. We're hearing what is going on there now. And, Father, we know that they're not having peace right now. And we're asking, Father, and praying for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the Messiah, and that one day Israel will become known as the land of Jesus. And Father, we pray for the saints, wherever they are, whatever nation they're in, that they stay in health and that they stay safe and that they are spreading your gospel, Father. The truth of this word, others come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this land of ours that's grown so wicked, we pray for these evil leaders that we have sitting in our government that has brought so much of this evil upon its own land. Be removed from office and to be replaced, Father, with those that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the church, your people, and love this country, and that will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, I pray for each one that is with me in this ministry. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, James Taylor, myself, and all of our family. Because, Father, we know that we all have family members that are not saved. And, Father, may the Holy Spirit work with them and help to lead them from that darkness to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, pray, Father, for this young couple, Courtney and Shane, that they too, Father, will find the Lord Jesus Christ, get their lives straight, and begin to walk in the right way. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I pray for God to bless each and every one of you, to walk with you, to guide you, and to keep you safe through this evening and tonight, and bring us all back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. Good night, all.